I wanted to share a few things that have been going on in my life with my family. Hopefully, you guys can get something out of it. But lately, it's been a challenge for us. We have a newborn and a toddler, two-year-old. He's going through some changes for him. It's difficult when he can't get his mom or dad, and it can be outbursts or bad attitudes and rebellion and stuff like that. And it gets really testing. We found ourselves quite often getting frustrated and losing grace. And sometimes we have questions in our heart, like, why is nothing working? You try lots of things. And not too long ago, I was kind of having these thoughts in my mind, like, Lord, why is the situation like this? You know, and it's like a complaint before God. And then the verse that came to my mind immediately, it was like John chapter 9, verse 2-3. And it says that the disciples came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, it was neither this man nor his parents who sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so immediately I thought, you know, Lord, I don't have a child that's born blind. I don't have a sick child. I have a lot to be thankful for. This is nothing in comparison. But immediately, you know, the question was there is, why is this happening, right? And kind of, it's like a complaint. And Jesus answered and said, this happened for a reason, and it's not the reason that you think. So sometimes, I mean, it's inevitable that in our lives we're going to have stuff happen to us that we don't like, and we're probably going to say to God, you know, why is this happening? Maybe it's something bad that happens or difficult that happens. Maybe it's something that doesn't happen that we wish would happen. And the answer might be that God will say to you, I want to display my works in your life or through the situation. And when I felt, when the scripture came, it wasn't like the problem was looking at, you know, this toddler or the situation. I mean, our first pregnancy, my wife had hyperemesis, and for, you know, majority of her pregnancy, she was very, very sick in the hospital constantly, and it was difficult. And you often ask God, you know, why are these things happening? Why is it like this? And because it's suffering, we don't want to go through suffering. We resist that. And if we look at it differently, if we look at it the way God looks at it, is I want to do something in this. I want to display my works in this. Then we can have a different mindset. And so first thing is we often ask God why. The second response, I just made some notes here, is sometimes we just resist it immediately. Like we don't like what's happening in our lives, and so we push against it, we resist it. And for me, a lot of times that's frustration, or sometimes it's trying to take control of the situation. We're going to do something to stop it from happening. No, this is not happening. I'm going to stop it. And the revelation that I got out of that is from the scripture in Matthew 16. And I think we'll see here that from this verse that the reason we do that, the reason we try and take control in our lives, is because we're not concerned about God's interests or plans. We're concerned about our own interests, how it's affecting us. So let's read in Matthew 16. I think it's 21 here. It says, from that time, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed. So immediately Jesus is talking about suffering and being killed. Well, nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants something bad to happen to them. And guess what happened? Look what Peter did. Peter took Jesus aside and he rebuked him. Never, Lord. This is not happening. What is that a picture? I take a picture of myself with my two-year-old and be like, hey, you're not doing this. You can get frustrated. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to deal with this. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine Jesus saying those words to his disciple, get behind? Peter thought he was doing something good, right? Stopping this thing from happening. And Jesus said, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of God. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, he said, but merely human concerns. So that really spoke to me, because in my frustration, I realized that I don't have in mind the concerns of God. I have my own concerns in mind. And so I'm gonna take control of the situation. I'm going to try and stop it from happening. And usually it doesn't end up well for my attitude. You know, I can be a frustrated person because my two-year-old is frustrated, or I can be a frustrated person because someone is slandering me or saying something about me that I don't like and try and stop it and say, this is not going to happen. And I can use my words to hurt them. And Jesus continued and said from there, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So suddenly realize there's a cross here. It's not just about fixing the problem. It's about me picking up my cross and saying, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Help me to glorify you. And that's really what the works of God are. The works of God are that when God does something in your life, he glorifies his name. Now, I wanted to use the same example because we're talking about Peter here. And as I was thinking about Peter, I thought, you know, Jesus was trying to teach him how to trust God, how to listen to him. And he wasn't getting it. It's just like me. You know, it takes me a long time to figure things, to learn what God's plan is in my life. And I get frustrated. So I made a note here that, you know, eventually if we don't understand God's ways and we keep resisting, eventually it leads to taking matters in our own hands. And that can often mean using our own words and not treating people right or hurting people or being destructive in some way. So I saw this verse here in John 18. I wanted to read to you. John 18, verse 10 and 11. It says, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, this is when Jesus was being arrested by the Romans, the Roman court that came to take him. We know he was going to be going to the cross, and Peter saw this happening. Remember what Jesus said to Peter? He said, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but the concerns, the human concerns, or man's concerns. So Peter, having this in mind, when they came to get Jesus, it says he had a sword, and he drew it, and he struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. So that's the end of the matter when we get frustrated, when we do things in our own strength instead of trusting God, is we end up doing things that are destructive. And Jesus said to him, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? So you see Jesus's mindset? You see the two mindsets there? Peter's mindset was, I'm going to stop this from happening. That's how I think when I have a child that's doing something and I just want to get frustrated. I'm going to stop this right now and I'm going to deal with it. And Jesus is like, no, the Father's giving me this cup. He's allowing me to suffer through this. I have to learn this circumstance. I don't like the circumstance. I can't change it, you know. And sometimes we wish or we want to try and change the things that God has placed in our life instead of understanding the purpose in it. And Jesus said, you know, this is the cup that the Father has given me. I'm going to drink this. I'm going to allow this to happen. I'm going to go to the cross. And so the end result is we do things in ourselves and it's destructive, or it's something that's going to be boastful. You know, something that we, you know, I did it. I took matters in my own hands and I accomplished these things. And I think the deception in it is that we have good intentions, right? Like, no, this is for good. I'm going to do this to help someone or to deal with this. And it seems good. But think about it this way. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, right? It was actually the devil inspiring Peter to try and stop what God's plan was. And it wasn't from the Spirit of God. So God, I think what I've learned is he lets us fail in our attempts to control situations or escape from situations. And I can see that in my life many times when if I think about decisions I made or things that I've done, I have regrets because I didn't actually pray enough, go to God and be like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And I missed the purpose of God. And so you get to do the test over again, right? It's like you did it once and you fail. Well, now you get to do it again. You try to run away from that problem instead of actually learning from it. And the works that are done by the Spirit of God, those are the ones that glorify. We look at Jesus as an example. When Peter was trying to cut off someone's ear, Jesus was like, do what you've come to do. And he went to the cross. And we know that that is what brought salvation to man for us. And God wants to show us a better way. He wants to teach us to follow him and glorify him. And you know what? It's not going to be what we expect. It's going to be different from what we want, but it's going to be the best. And it's not going to be the same as what's happening to our neighbor. Or, you know, sometimes if I'm in a situation, I look and I say, why is this happening to me? And I immediately look at my neighbor or my cousin or my friend or my, you know, this person. And I say, well, it's not happening to them. And that's not the mindset of God. It's an example of that here in the scriptures in John 21. Let's read that because it came to mind. John 21, verse 18 to 22 says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is after he was raised from the dead. The disciples are fishing on their boat, and they were discouraged. And Jesus came, and Peter said, "It's the Lord." He jumped out of the boat and came to Jesus, and they had a little breakfast. And then Jesus had told them to cast on any other side, all that kind of stuff. And then Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, when you were younger," he spoke to Peter, "he said, you dressed yourself, and you went wherever you wanted to go." So I underline those words. You did what you wanted when you were young. He said, "But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." So you're going to, when you grow up, in other words, when you mature spiritually, God is going to take you into places and situations where you don't want to go. It's not what you want, but it's going to be for a purpose. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So, you know, instant illustration, you'll stretch out your hands. Peter ended up dying on a cross upside down when he was persecuted and killed to glorify Jesus. But spiritually, he was telling him, "Hey, look, I'm gonna take you places to do things that are going to glorify me, glorify God. Those are the works of God." Remember the blind boy? Jesus said, "This happened so that the works of God would be displayed in him." And Peter was going to die, and Jesus said, "It's going to glorify me. Your death is going to glorify me." That's not something we want, but it's what God's desire is. And he said to him, "I want you to follow me." And Peter turned and saw the disciple who Jesus loved. This is John. And immediately he sees his friend, you know, John there, and he says, "What about him, Lord? What's going to happen to him? If this is going to happen to me, what about this guy?" And he just said, "Hey, look, don't worry about that. If I want him to remain until I'm alive, what is that to you? You need to follow me." So it's a pattern for us to compare ourselves with other people and ask God, "Why is this happening to me, not to them?" We need to say, "You know what, God, whatever glorifies you, help me to embrace it and to trust you." And that's the danger. I made a note here. It says we compare ourselves to others who seem to have it easier instead of trusting God. And an example of this is Jesus. Now, think about this. Okay, here's Peter, right? He did all these things. He rebuked Jesus. This is not going to happen. He cut off someone's ear. And then later, he got discouraged. And Jesus telling him, "Look, follow me. Don't worry about what happens to your friend." Then Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, this is after Jesus died on the cross. The Holy Spirit came down. He was filled with the Spirit. Now, he's writing scriptures, okay? He doesn't have the mindset of man. He doesn't have the carnal mind. He has the mind of the Spirit, and he writes this. He was a changed man, and he had the interests of God. For 1 Peter 2:19. "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God." Now, think about that verse. It is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. So when they came to arrest Jesus, right? You remember what he did? He's like, "This is not supposed to be happening. There's no reason why they should be arresting Jesus. He's an innocent man." So what did he do? He took a sword to stop it, to cut off his ear. Now he's saying, "Hey, if it's commendable to God if you endure suffering for the sake of consciousness to God. Like, okay, God, this is not right. What this person's doing to me, what they're doing to me is not right. But I'm going to trust God and let it happen." That's what Jesus did, right? Now Peter's saying this. He says, "But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, if you trust God and you go through this, it is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example." Isn't it interesting how Peter's now pointing to Jesus? I'm thinking he's probably, I learned my lesson, you know. I was trying to fight this thing. Jesus was telling me the whole time, you know, like, just, "Peter, let go of the sword." And he's like, "Look at Jesus. He endured suffering when it wasn't right. He let it happen because God was going to be glorified in it." So you know what? Instead of getting frustrated, right, with my two-year-old or asking God why all the time, I say, "Okay, Lord, help me to just trust you." It says that Jesus gave us this example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, right? Because what do we do when we get upset and frustrated and angry? Most of the time we sin. And it says no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered, and he made no threats. You know, it's easy when you have kids. Just ask my wife. How many times you can threaten and say things? Sometimes you need to hear those hard words and disciplines coming, but sometimes you can say things that because you're trying to stop something from happening and instead of going to God. And it's in this verse here, the last part, verse of 23, is what really spoke to me. It says, "Instead, Speaking of Jesus, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So Peter didn't do that in the beginning. He was like, no, I'm going to be the judge, and I'm going to stop this. Jesus said, no, my Father's going to do it. My Father's going to be the judge. I'm trusting myself to him. He's going to stop it if he wants to stop it. And if he lets it happen, it's going to happen. And a couple final verses here I'll share with you guys about suffering. I think personal suffering refines our character. And that's what I'm praying that God will do in my life through the difficult things that are hard. Sometimes it takes time, but God wants us to seek to be filled with the Spirit. Romans 5, 3 and 4 says, not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So, you know, we don't think about that at the time. We don't think about, you know, this is for God changing my character. Like, he's actually going to make me a better, more Christ-like person. He's going to change my attitudes. We think about the issue at hand. And so those are scriptures to remember when you're going through things that don't go your way. Remember, God is teaching you perseverance. And last scripture here is 2 Corinthians 1, 6. And it talks about persevering in our suffering so that hopefully one day, like Peter, we will be able to comfort others and testify of the works of God. You know, Peter wrote later on in his life about the things that he learned. He was encouraging others because he had overcome, he had learned. And this verse says, if we are distressed, so something's happening in your life that's distressing you, it's frustrating you, it's bothering you, it says it's actually going to be for your comfort and salvation. If you go to Jesus, if you go to God and say, Lord, help me through this, it says it's going to be for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance and the same sufferings which we suffer. So, you know, maybe you have a story that one day you can say, you know what, I went through these things. I remember times when I was talking with, you know, Brother Jacob or different brothers, like, yeah, you know, he said Kinsey was a really difficult boy when he was younger, but he said, look, this is what happened. We thought it was so difficult. And the Lord has done this work, and people will say, Is this Kinsey? Yeah, he's a different person, you know. Ah, encourage me, you know. He was comforted because God helped him through the situation. It seemed impossible. So when I think of something that I don't like, the way I see an attitude of things in my 2-year-old, I think, God, I remember what Brother Jacob said. He encouraged me that way. But, you know, one day I hope I can encourage someone else and say, you know what, I was so frustrated when I was going through the time of my life, but I see that God was actually giving me, teaching me patience and helped me to trust him. So hopefully that speaks to some of you about things you're going through and helps you to go to the scriptures. Like these scriptures really help me, and I want to take them to mind. I'm still taking them to God because I fail many times, but I know God's going to help me.